You open up your Bibles to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. If you're following along in one of the provided Bibles, you can find that on page 1180. 1180. Now we'll continue that series through the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. Just going to read four verses this morning. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. So far, reading in God's holy word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Let us go before the Lord and ask that He would bless us. Gracious and merciful God and Father, we ask that you would take these words and use them to cut deep, that we might begin more and more to shape our thinking, our actions, our life, according to our identity in you, according to that union that we have in you, which we see visibly displayed before us both in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. And so, Lord, may we embrace this wonderful and vital teaching, and may we be shaped by it. We can only do this because of the blessing of your Spirit. And so we ask that you would send him to us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, when I was a young boy, I often liked to read these stories called Choose Your Own Adventure. And basically, this book would allow you to make certain decisions along the way to direct the story in whatever direction that you wanted it to go. We live in a world now that we might describe as choose your own identity. Choose your own identity. And when they talk in such a way, they are talking about how you need to look deep inside yourself, to look at your heart and see where that is leading you. You ought to ignore the constraints of society, the rules and regulations, and instead ignore all those things and just look at yourself, and you choose who you want to be. Go where your heart is leading you. But Paul has been impressing upon us the vital importance of not having our identity in the things of this world, in our own flesh, or in the rules and regulations of men, but instead to be identified by Christ and our union with Him. That because of His work, because of what He has done, this is who you are. And now, shape all your thinking, all your life, everything according to Christ. According to Christ. And this morning, Paul yet again roots the commands, the exhortations that he gives in this very identity, in the vital importance of our position. And so he commands the believers that they should seek heavenly things and not earthly things because of their position in Christ. We might say that is our theme this morning. But what is that position that Paul speaks about? See, Paul continues to keep our focus and the very center of our thinking upon Christ and our identity in him. And so he wants to show us yet again our position in Christ as the ground, as the basis for the commands that he gives to the church. Now, children, when you're thinking about your position, you might be thinking about your position within the queue. How close you are to the front, or how far away you are, and if you're toward the back. But there are other ways to think about positions. There are those who serve in positions of government. It can speak about an office. There are those who have the position of prime minister, for example. That is Jacinda Ardern's office, her position, her standing. There is also that idea of position or standing in a legal sense. What is your standing before the law? Are you guilty or not guilty? And so when Paul is speaking about our position in Christ, he is encapsulating many different things. He has, as we've already seen, pointed out that at his death, our very debt before that law of God, the penalty that we owe, death itself, has been nailed to the cross. And so we can see our position as not guilty because of what he has did. But then we are no longer dead in our transgressions and sins, but alive in Christ. That the corruptible body of flesh that is susceptible to sin is removed in Christ Jesus. And that we have victory over sin, that we are free not to live in pursuit of achieving eternal life, but knowing that we have eternal life. We live as victorious kings because we have been raised with Christ, who is at the right hand of God the Father. That's his position. And we too have been raised to that position. Because as he says, we have been hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. We have died, and our life is hidden with God. See, this idea of union with Christ shapes this identity that we have, but it is of utmost importance. It is of such vital importance that theologians have come to say such things as this. First, we must understand that as long as Christ remains outside of us and we are separated from him, all that he has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value to us. Therefore, he had to become ours and to dwell within us. This is a vital doctrine of salvation, a vital teaching of salvation. And so your position is in Christ. We ought not determine our position through visions or through the law or through any other means, but we are to understand that we are hidden in him, our life is in him, that he is that true tabernacle, that true temple, We just sang from Psalm 27, which celebrated the wonderful salvation that was given because we are hidden in Him. Listen to these words from Psalm 27. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent He will hide me. He will lift me up on the rock. We are hidden in Christ. Our sins cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We are positioned in a place of authority with Him over all these principalities, powers, and empty deceptions. And so we must, first of all, define ourselves, understand ourselves, our very identity, not by something inside of us, but by something outside, Christ Himself. Everything must be shaped according to Christ. And so this is what Paul goes on to command. As he talks about seeking the things above and setting our mind on the things above, Paul is saying that our union with Christ not only gives us this new identity, but it also gives us a new mindset. It is this new grid, this new filter with which to look at the world through, to interpret everything that happens to us. And it's not so much then what happens to us that defines us, but it is our identity in Christ that interprets what happens to us. Just think about how Hebrews 12 points this out. How we need to understand ourselves as sons of God because we are in Christ Jesus. So that when troubles, trials, temptations come, we don't see it as the judgment of God against our sin, but we see it as God disciplining us, training us towards righteousness so that we may have that peaceable fruit of righteousness. See how your identity in Christ shapes your very thinking about what happens to you. So that when troubles and difficulties come, they don't become what defines you. But it is shaped first and foremost by Christ. It also shows us how we can look at the things of this world. Because it says, set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth. And the things of this earth, he has shown, are empty. They are temporary. They are mere shadows. And so we ought not say to ourselves when we have these great blessings of the earth, yes, they are good, they are blessings from God, such as financial wealth, but we ought not pursue them to the end, as if that's what we live for. But instead, we need to seek first, as Jesus says it instead, the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. The things of this earth, moth and rust will destroy. Thieves will break in and steal. Things will break and tear apart, even this very body that we have will someday die unless Christ comes again. But we also have seen that Christ has reconciled all things to himself. And so we don't treat these bodies as if they mean nothing, but we use them to serve the Lord. We care for them so that we can serve and glorify and honor him. And so when Paul is speaking about seeking the things above, he will go on to talk about putting off the old nature and putting on, which we will look at in the future. But we need to shape everything by this identity. Again, think about work and how Paul will then define why we work. Is he going to say, we need to work so that we can provide for our family, so that we can retire, so that we can have more wealth, or so that we even serve our boss? No, he says, work as if you are serving the Lord, not to please men, but to please God. And so to set our minds on heavenly things means that we shape our entire worldview and understanding in what Christ has done. The one who is creator, redeemer, and reconciler of all things. And we ought to seek to live that way even now upon this earth to his glory, his honor, and service to him. Because of what he has done, because of who we are in him, because we are already hidden in him. And that also means that we have a hope, a promise that will be revealed to us. As we conclude, let's look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. See, we live in a world where there is a gap between who we are in Christ Jesus and this heavenly reality and what is veiled. We still live in a veiled reality where we see through a glass dimly. But these heavenly realities that are hidden from our eyes will be revealed to us in fullness. That we will gain these immortal bodies that will inherit eternal life. And even though we are victorious over sin, we still have that sinful nature that clings to us and tempts us. And we can be so easily distracted by the things of this world and so quickly forget who we are in Christ Jesus. And so we must always constantly remember that union with Christ so that we remember our forgiveness, but also whom we are, whom we belong to, so that we would be shaped by that unseen reality. That we would know that glory. And when he comes again to eat and drink with us a feast anew. So that we will see him face to face and we will become like him. And so, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul commands that our thoughts and our lives, our entire being, be shaped by that identity in Christ. That identity we saw in the sacrament of baptism, where our sin was put to death, we were circumcised, we are raised to new life, and we are hidden in him. And we have that forgiveness of sins. But that same truth is also given to us in the Lord's Supper. As we eat his body and drink his blood, he nourishes us. That he becomes a part of us and we a part of him. And in fact, at that introduction, I often use those words that have been used throughout centuries. Lift your hearts to heaven. where Christ is seated. May all these things shape our very thinking and shape our entire lives, that we might set our minds on things above, seeking those things where Christ is seated. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God and Father, we thank you for who we are in Christ Jesus. That the toils of this world, that the temptations and trials can be seen not as punishment for sin, but as discipline because we are sons of God. That we may see that our position in standing before you has nothing to do with what we have done, but because of what Christ has done. And that we are seated there with him in newness of life. And so, Lord, may that new life be shown within us. May we live it out, seeking the things above. May our identity be shaped not by looking inward, but by looking to who we are in Christ Jesus. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.